This verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing to us how to create confidence. Confidence is something that you have to build upon your reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a feeling of trust in one's abilities, qualities, and judgment.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi.
Sallallahu alayhi.
Once you realize that your main source of self-confidence is that you are a Muslim, then you can further develop your self-confidence. What Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh means by self-confidence is being aware of your limitations and areas of growth. No person is perfect, and we do have limitations. Being aware of yourself and your limitations is a big part of self-confidence because it helps you to know what you may and may not contribute to a situation. Being aware of your areas for growth can help you to start improving yourself. That is the point in the sentence of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh, which is of high significance for us. Okay, now for ending, let's just recite the sentence of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh regarding self-confidence. Well, about that he said, after trust in God, self-reliance is a source of pious deeds. Thank you very much for being with us. Until another episode, I bid you farewell. May Allah protect you all.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha
Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him, has said, whoever remembers us to Ahlul Bayt and his or her eyes fills with tears, his or her face will never burn in the fire of hell.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, the role of the remembrance of Allah in our Islamic lifestyle. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is an honor to be here at your service, dear listeners. We are talking about the role of the remembrance of the Almighty Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to our Islamic lifestyle. Now, of course, sometimes these, as episodes and these segments of ours seem to be very self-explanatory, but, a kind reminder is necessary for every single one of us. And so this idea that, in our Islamic lifestyle, we must remember the Almighty Allah, it seems quite simple. But when you think about it, in the age that we live in, everything is so fast-paced, there is so much to do, there is so much to manage, there's so much to, handle and take care of, that one of the last things that we really do is the remembrance of the Almighty Allah. And I don't know if we can say that it seems to be natural that we don't find time. Well, because we're so busy doing so much other stuff in our lives that we don't get a chance to really remember the Almighty Allah, to establish a connection with the Almighty Allah, to have a relationship with the Almighty Allah. And really, one of the most unfortunate things that a human being can do is to not have a relationship with the Almighty Allah, right? We very rarely remember our loving, nurturing, sustaining, providing Creator, the Almighty Allah. We don't remember the Almighty Allah as much as we should. And really, I don't think many of us even speak to the Almighty Allah, even though the five daily prayers is one form of speaking to the Almighty Allah. The recitation of the Holy Quran is one way of listening to the Almighty Allah. But of course, the du'as and the supplications are another form of speaking to the Almighty Allah. And finally, speaking to the Almighty Allah, the loving Lord, the Rabbul Alameen, the nurturing Lord of the worlds, is to speak to Him in our own words, the words of our heart, and have a heart-to-heart, if you will, with the Almighty Allah. I think many of us really don't do that, and we've never thought about doing that. First we're going to have to remember the Almighty Allah if we are going to then continue and then actually speak to the Almighty Allah. And so really, the role of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really integral and fundamental when it comes to our Islamic lifestyle. Welcome back, dear friends. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about the role of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to our Islamic lifestyle. Now, no Islamic lifestyle is complete without the remembrance and the dhikr, again, the remembrance or the speaking to the Almighty Allah. Now, we have to remember the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our daily lives. If we don't remember Allah, then we're not living a complete Islamic lifestyle. Matter of fact, it could be said that if we don't remember the Almighty Allah, then we aren't living a Islamic lifestyle. We're living some other kind of lifestyle. Because when it comes to the Islamic lifestyle, remembering Allah is a very fundamental aspect. And of course, when you go to the Holy Quran and when you go to the teachings of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam, peace and blessings upon all of them, you learn and they teach us that remembering the Almighty Allah as much as we possibly can is a fundamental part of Islam, and it is a fundamental part of living a Islamic lifestyle. Now, of course, we had talked about in the previous segment how the recitation of the Holy Quran is listening to the Almighty Allah, and the recitation of the daily prayers, the du'as, the salah, that is us speaking to the Almighty Allah. Also, we had said how the du'as, the various supplications that we have from the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam and the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, these are all forms of speaking to the Almighty Allah. And of course, these are incredibly, incredibly important. And we need to try to find a way to inculcate them in our daily lives. But also, we really need to find time to speak to the Almighty Allah. One of the most intimate ways in order to speak with the Almighty Allah, of course, are these intimate conversations that we ourselves have with the Almighty Allah. And so we kind of have to take time out of our busy schedule, of being busy with all of these worldly things, and really have a heart-to-heart with the Almighty Allah. It is this heart-to-heart which will help us to establish a connection and to establish a relationship with the Almighty Allah. And surely you will find that slowly but surely you will start to really have this beautiful friendship and this deep, profound love for the Almighty Allah, which of course is the ultimate objective of a Islamic lifestyle.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
In the limelight.
The third Belt and Road Forum for International Cooperation, BRI, will be held in Beijing in October. Over the past decade, China has signed documents for the co-building the BRI with over 150 countries and 30 international organizations. A total of more than 3,000 cooperation projects under the initiative has delivered nearly $1 trillion of investment and generated a strong growth across partner countries. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Global Times noted, this year marks the 10th anniversary of the proposal of the Belt and Road Initiative, BRI. Over the past decade, Africa has emerged as a prime example of how the BRI has delivered tangible benefits to both China and Africa, fostering closer ties between the two sides. The remarkable progress can be seen in numerous infrastructure projects undertaken by Chinese companies, the increasing investments in Africa, the growing China-Africa trade, and the strengthening of people-to-people exchanges. The people-to-people exchanges between China and Kenya have laid a solid foundation since the time of legendary Chinese navigator Zheng He's voyages to the coast of East Africa. With the strong driving force of jointly building the BRI, the friendly exchanges between the two countries are expected to deepen further. Various sectors in Madagascar generally welcome the BRI and believe that the cooperation between China and Madagascar under the framework of the BRI meets the development needs of Madagascar and truly achieve shared benefits. Among them, President Andry Rajoelina's high evaluation of the BRI has left a deep impression on them. He stated that China is a reliable and important partner for Madagascar's development, and Madagascar's determination and confidence in actively participating in the construction of the Belt and Road Initiative will not change. In September last year, President Rajoelina personally attended the inauguration ceremony of the rehabilitation project of the National Road 5A and drove smoothly on the newly repaired road. The cooperative construction of the BRI has not only effectively promoted policy, communication, trade, facilitation, infrastructure, connectivity, and financial integration, but also promoted people-to-people communication between China and Africa. The exchanges and communication between the two sides have continued to expand, enhancing mutual understanding and friendship, and laying a solid foundation for friendly relations between the two countries. Madagascar is among the first African countries to sign the BRI with China. The BRI has brought enormous influence to countries along the route since it was proposed 10 years ago. Madagascar is an island country in the Indian Ocean. It possesses abundant natural gas resources. Madagascar's offshore oil resources are very rich, and it also has a good strategic location advantage. And there is great potential for cooperation with China in oil refining and port development. In particular, the port can facilitate the transportation of goods from southern Africa and support the establishment of cement plants and aluminum mines. In fact, Madagascar is not poor at all. On the contrary, it is very rich with abundant underground resources. There are no traps in the BRI. On the contrary, for some developing countries, especially some emerging economies, the BRI presents a very good development opportunity. China has its own development planning, and it develops its plans in a coherent manner, which some countries do not. This coherence has also brought great opportunities for China's development. The BRI is a win-win project, which is very different from the narratives by the Western countries, who always talk about conspiracy theories. Western countries put forward the so-called debt trap theory to try and hinder the development of these developing countries. There is no room for any conspiracy. Meanwhile, China Daily wrote China will host in October the third Belt and Road Forum for International Cooperation, the most highlighted event to commemorate the 10th anniversary of the Belt and Road Initiative. The forum in Beijing will also be an important platform for various parties to discuss high-quality cooperation in jointly building the Belt and Road, Foreign Ministry spokesman Wang Wenbin said recently. China is maintaining communication with various parties on preparations for the forum, Wang told a daily news conference. Focusing on boosting connectivity, the initiative aims to provide a platform for global economic cooperation and inject fresh impetus into the development of various countries as well as global economic growth, he said. Over the past decade, China has signed cooperation documents on the BRI with more than 150 countries and more than 30 international organizations. The initiative has galvanized nearly $1 trillion of investment globally and created more than 3,000 projects. Wong said that debris has become the most welcomed global public good, as well as the largest platform for international cooperation. The full implementation of debris transportation projects could increase global real income by 7/10 to 2.9% and could help lift 7.6 million people out of extreme poverty and 32 million people out of moderate poverty globally by 2030, the World Bank has estimated. Programs under the initiative also actively fulfill environmental responsibility by carrying out ecological and environmental governance as well as biodiversity conservation, Wong said. According to Wong, China has signed more than 50 cooperation documents on ecological and environmental protection with relevant parties and has launched Belt and Road partnerships on green development with 31 countries. China will take the third forum as an opportunity to work with the international community to sum up experiences and draw a new blueprint to continue to promote high-quality construction of the Belt and Road. Also, recently, Wang announced that in accordance with law, China will impose reciprocal visa restrictions on some U.S. individuals involved in spreading rumors of forcible assimilation in Tibet and those who have long meddled in Tibet-related issues. The countermeasure came after the U.S. regime announced imposition of visa restrictions on Chinese officials over the alleged forcible assimilation of Tibetan children in boarding schools recently.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners from all around the world. This is Arab English Radio, and you're listening to Youth Station. I am Bita.
And I'm Asma, once again.
If you are in our sweet, sweet home.
Yeah. Ever since we were kids, I am so sure that you have had the same experience, and the audiences. And guys, I'm just so sure that what I'm going to say is just the same story that has happened to many of you.
Yeah.
When I was a kiddo, we had this house of my grandparents. We went there and then all the kids together. And then back in time, we were too much of kids, you know, not like right now.
Nice.
Just one, two or three. No, we were like this bunch of kids together. And then I had some kids of my own age. Among them, there was a cousin of mine. She was just the same as my age, 1 year older than me. Now, the thing is that she was always on my nerve. How? Well, she started to show off even about the shoes she was wearing.
Come on.
At that age, right now, when I just look back and I just see her behavior, I say, how, what happens to a girl, to a six-year-old girl, to be that pompous?
Yeah, I know. Because
how
I had
come?
This experience. And unfortunately, I wasn't born in a kind of crowded family that there were a lot of kids. No, it wasn't like that. I was.
So you were like the other
generation. Yeah, the other side. I was the first kid in my family from both sides, my parents and my father and my mother. And for 8 years, there was no one around me. Yeah, I was an only
child. I don't know
child.
If it's a blessing or if it's
I don't know
not
either.
A blessing.
I don't know either. So, you know, I was a pure only child. Okay.
So only.
So lonely. And when I just went to school, I was kind of new world to me. Just a lot of people and my age, mm-hmm. and I saw them. And there was a friend of mine, and she was always showing off about, I don't know, her siblings, her tablet, cell phone.
Yeah.
At that time, having a tablet was something kind of like a blessing, that not all the people and none of the kids have the chance to have a tablet.
Yeah.
And, you know, when she was like, okay, I'm so rich, and I traveled to that country, to this country, and, you know, it was meaningless for me at that age, whatever she was telling me. And I was like, maybe she is trying to catch my attention or something like that, because she wants me to be friends with her. But after a kind of long time, I just figured out that people are valuating themselves by these kind of things, by showing off the things that they may not have.
Yeah, well,
and
you know,
this is the point.
Now we talked about the time when we were kids and teenagers. Just imagine, as we grew older and we came into society with older people, we saw that, okay, it does not cease to exist. It not only stops to exist, but also it starts to grow in another format.
Yeah.
Now you can see many grown-ups who just show off to each other. At the age of 40, I don't know, 50, 60, whatever age they have, they do not learn the fact that whatever you have, maybe it's a blessing, maybe it's a test, whatever that you have, is not just a thing that's going to be eternal for you. You're not going to take it with you to the grave.
And you know, sometimes showing off is not about the things that you have. It's about the things that you don't, but you wish for to have.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the inferiority complex. That we have in just psychological aspects, and we talk about it, that you feel inferior, and because of this feeling inferior, you want to prove that you are superior to other people, to yourself.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this is something really sad that I see, especially in some people on social medias. You know, this is something really common in social medias, that people show a picture of them themselves that they don't have, but they wish to have.
You actually are pointing at the very reasons of why people show up.
Yeah.
And it's very true. Sometimes it comes out of the lacks that you feel deep down. And it's very sad. So before we penetrate into some more reasons, let's go for a short break.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Okay, so we're talking about this showing off things that people show off about the things that they don't have. I wish we could show off about the time that we have in Youth Station, but unfortunately, this is the only thing that we always don't have, you know? Always talking about these beautiful things, and by the way, this is Youth Station. So.
Yes, and we're here talking about pompous people who show off all the time, and they are these hated people everywhere.
They are, but
nobody likes them.
But sometimes you feel pity for these people. That
of course, the first thing that gets into your mind is that, for example, when I see women feeling so happy about the gold or the piece of jewelry they have bought,
this is
and
foolish.
Then they start to show off in front of their, I don't know, in their communities, they start to just brag about the things they have. The first thing that gets into my mind is pity, because I just feel like there is something somewhere in her life that is missing, and she tries to fill that void with her love for the jewels or for the gold or for anything.
You know, actually, we were counting some of the reasons of this behavior of showing off that I mentioned, this inferiority complex, and right now you told me just one of the reasons, that you're trying to feel something. And whenever the point of view of your life is so materialistic, I think showing off is somehow more highlighted. Because you are expressing the values and the priorities of your life into things that they don't matter, but you put your value in that thing.
Exactly.
Things. Like the gold, like money. And unfortunately, the actually trend is going in that way.
Yeah.
That the more money you have and the more you're showing off the money you have, you're loved by other people.
Yeah, you are a much up-to-date person.
Exactly.
But that's not true. Well, the concepts have changed so much. The other reason I could mention is the shallowness of their brain. You know, some people really, really, really do not have a school of thought for themselves.
Yeah.
They go without thinking. I am really much sorry for saying that, but unfortunately, some people would just accept it for themselves, not to elevate themselves with new thoughts, new ideas, with growing up, learning new stuff, you know, because you see, among those friends who just show off to each other about the things they have studied, just imagine, they show off about the things they have learned recently. There are some other people who would show off about the things they have because they do not have any other thing to talk about.
Yeah.
You know?
I know what you mean. And another thing is that sometimes you are communicating with other people, the people that are not in as the same class as you are.
Yeah.
By class, I mean maybe financial class or social class. And you, and this lack of yours that you feel in your life is somehow more emphasized, more highlighted. And you try to be someone else.
Yeah, you try to bring yourself up to their level and that would actually kill you, I suppose.
This is sad.
So sad, so depressing and so annoying, but unfortunately we see a lot of it nowadays. There's a lot of it back in there. See, there are too many reasons for that, for people to start showing off. But then what's the cure?
I think curing these kind of people is really difficult. Because,
do you think such people would... I mean, as personally myself, usually when I look at them, I say, still, my cousin is the same girl. She has not changed.
They won't change.
So from the age 6 that I just saw her more and more, up until now that we do not see each other and we see each other just out of a blue moon, even right now, she feels the same girl. So when I just see her, I make sure that I just, it has become my belief after seeing her that there's no way for people to get cured out of this disease of showing off and bragging about the things they have.
Actually, it's a bit harsh to tell me that there is no way, but I have to admit that because, you know, I have a friend in university that she's always showing off everything. You know, she is somehow close to me and she tells me her difficulties and problems and so on. And once she told me something that was really interesting for me. She told me that I'm tired of pretending whatever I'm not, always pretending I'm happy, always pretending I'm rich. She just told me that even I'm pretending for my parents. And it was really dark for me too.
Yeah. So there's another reason, depression. Depression makes you go for showing off and boast about the things you have. Yes, we're still talking about pompous people in Youth Station. Well, maybe we have mentioned these guys a lot in Youth Station. Maybe there have been many topics that we brought them into those topics because, you know, these guys are being so conspicuous nowadays. They are very much dominant, you know, because they can show themselves everywhere. And there is this media which has made everything pretty easy for them. They do not have to see other people to just show off. They put the photos and the videos in their pages and then everything is done.
Exactly.
So they can get to what they want. And then they get the comments. They can get the crying of other people. I don't know if they would feel happy or not, but there's another reason for that, which is they show off by their things, which are materialistic, of course, and mostly, they use it as a sort of distraction. You know, they want to distract themselves from the real life they have, as in a remedy. They do not want to believe what they are living in, and then they use this method as in a strategy to just fight against what they are living in reality.
And then after a time, you know, it will become their habit.
There is another aspect to this showing off. Back in time, or maybe even as in a religious aspect, from the religious point of view, people were showing off about the prayers they do.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And about the things they did. I mean, the charity stuff. We see that right now even. People pretend like they care for other people. They go for charity. But what happens actually behind the curtain is just the otherwise.
I know. And there are these kind of people that they're acting and pretending like, oh, I care about the poor people and the poor kids that are in the street. I don't know, the child labor. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thoughtful, as you see, you know. And I like that. And unfortunately, this is only a game for them.
Exactly.
To catch your attention, to have more attention. Yeah. Whenever someone is showing up for you, if you act like, oh my gosh, really, wow, or something like that, you are giving what they want. Okay.
Exactly.
So you have to stop it. Sometimes you have to, this is all you have in your life. This is all your life is. I don't know, showing off your car, your luxury car, your luxury life. Life is not all.
And trust me, you're not going to take it with you to the grave. The only thing that comes with you to the grave is your pure heart, is whatever goodness you have done to the entire humanity, is with the nice thinking that you have shared with other people. It is with the sparkles that you have shared
in
the world of human beings.
You know,
the care that you have for them.
Sometimes this actually pure heart that we see from other people is, again, showing off. So the intention really matters here.
Yeah, the
intention. You have to be pure intentionally.
And it's pretty clear, you know. The one that has got a good intention is totally clear from the one who does not have, who's just showing off with it,
so
who's just trying to brag about it and boast about it while it does not exist. And something for the record, to gist it all up, I would say that there's this verse in the Holy Book of Quran that says, "Inna akramakum 'indallahi atqakum." That means the noblest of you before Allah is the most righteous of you. So there's nothing to brag about unless your good deeds that you have done in God's eyes, not for people. With good intention, just the way you just said it. So I guess that makes it all.
Yeah, and let me add this sentence that you have to have the attention of Allah Almighty instead of the attention of people. If you are thinking you're that kind of person who, you know, have a strong urge to have the other people's attention, then you are doing something wrong in your life.
You must just seek to gain his interest.
Exactly.
That's the only thing, with pure intention, of course.
Yeah.
So thank you for staying with us until another session. I just bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
In Britain, rail services across England ground to a halt as train drivers
begin another strike action as part of a long-running dispute with the Conservative government over jobs and pay. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The London Evening Standard has covered this story and tells us more. UK's rail services hit by a fresh strike on Saturday 2nd of September in a long-running dispute with the government over jobs and pay. Around 20,000 staff at the Rail, Maritime and Transport Workers Union, the RMT Union, have walked out amid a bitter row with the train companies and the government that has continued for more than 18 months. Travellers are being warned that fewer than half of the trains will operate and some services will be subject to short-notice cancellation. It follows days of disruption to air travel after national air traffic services could not process flights automatically. Over a quarter of flights were cancelled on Monday, 28th of August, just as families returned to the United Kingdom from their summer breaks. And those who did manage to get a flight back to Gatwick Airport struggled to get home by train. Gatwick Express, Southern and Thameslink are all affected by Saturday's rail strikes. Most of the services hit by industrial action are in England, but some long-distance operators are also affected, meaning that trains to Wales and Scotland may also be cancelled. Southern and South Eastern rail services will be running a reduced service during strike action. It comes after ASLEF went on strike on Friday, 1st of September, with 13 operators such as Avanti West Coast, Cross Country, Thameslink and TransPennine Express shut down all day. ASLEF's Mick Whelan said on Friday that drivers were in it for the long haul. Meanwhile, Transport Secretary Mark Harper claimed airlines had reported most customers have reached their destination. Mark Harper praised steps taken by the industry in helping to get to this point. The Transport Secretary said an unusual piece of data it received forced it to switch to manually checking flights. Mark Harper will be sent a preliminary inquiry report in the coming days. Meanwhile, the RMT General Secretary Mick Lynch said after a week the RDG has formally responded to our initiative to try and reach a negotiated settlement to the national dispute. Mick Lynch added, "While it is encouraging that the train operating companies want to continue dialogue with us next week, a fresh proposal would be needed to progress this dispute towards a settlement." He added, "Their most recent proposal has been rejected, and we will have to try and see if we can find a way forward." Mick Lynch added, "Our strike action remains on these days and our industrial campaign will continue until we reach a negotiated settlement on working conditions, job security and pay." He said, "The RMT union has laid out a comprehensive framework on how we can reach a negotiated settlement and is prepared to meet at any time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week." He added, "It is now up to ministers to break the deadlock and allow rail bosses to put forward a revised offer." He said, "We have negotiated dozens of deals with rail employers across the country throughout the last 18 months. Mick Lynch added, "Yet we are still unable to find a way forward in this dispute, which the Department for Transport has ultimately responsibility for." A spokesperson for the Department for Transport said, "After taxpayers supported rail workers throughout the pandemic, it's frustrating to see both ASLEF and the RMT union coordinate their strikes with the aim of causing as much disruption as possible on the last weekend of the summer holidays." The spokesperson for the Department of Transport claimed, there remains fair and reasonable offers on the table for both unions, one which would bring the average train driver's salaries up to £65,000 and one which the RMT members working for Network Rail accepted months ago. The spokesperson added, "Continued industrial action is disappointing and delays the reforms that would ultimately benefit passengers, rail workers and taxpayers." ITV, the independent television network, has also covered the same story and tells us more. Rail services across England ground to a halt as train drivers began another strike action as part of a long-running dispute over pay. Members of ASLEF walked out for 24 hours, severely impacting timetables and forcing trains to start later and finish earlier than usual. Some areas had no trains all day, while services in Wales and Scotland were also affected. The dispute started more than a year ago and remains in deadlock, with no sign of a breakthrough. On Friday, 1st of September, strike coincided with the final day of consultation on controversial plans to close most railway ticket offices, which has sparked hundreds of thousands of responses from the public. Rail workers announced more strike action across 2 days. Drivers also banned overtime on Saturday, 2nd of September, coinciding with a strike by the Rail, Maritime and Transport Union, the RMT Union, in its dispute over pay, jobs and conditions. Both unions blamed the government for blocking any chance of a deal by refusing to allow train operators to make an offer they can recommend to their members. As they've said, Friday's strike forced companies to cancel services across the country, while the ban on overtime seriously disrupted the rail network. The union has maintained that none of the train companies employ enough drivers to provide a proper service without drivers working on their days off. ASLEF's General Secretary Mick Whelan said, "The government appears happy to let passengers and businesses suffer in the mistaken belief that they can bully us into submission. They don't care about passengers or Britain's railway, but they will not break us." ASLEF General Secretary Mick Whelan added, "Train drivers at these companies have not had a pay rise for 4 years, since 2019, while inflation has rocketed. We haven't heard a word from the employers, we haven't had a meeting, a phone call, a text message, or even an email since Wednesday, 26th of April, and we haven't had any contact with the government since 6th of January. Mick Whelan added, "This shows how the contempt in which the companies and the government hold passengers and staff and public transport in Britain."
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Reasons behind enemies targeting Islam is the political rules of Islam. This is the part of a speech delivered by the leader of Islamic Revolution in a meeting with the Supreme Assembly of Commanders and officials of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps on August 17, 2023, in the Imam Khomeini's Hosseiniyeh. The documents from Den of Espionage, former U.S. Embassy, were uncovered. The documents from Den of Espionage clearly stated that the West designed a strategic policy so that this revolution would not take place or that it would not last. That strategic policy consisted of creating continuous crises and incidents. You see, at the beginning of revolution, we had problems in the west of the country. We had problems in the northwest. We had somewhat of a problem in the northeast. We had problems in the south, and we had problems in the southeast. In other words, there were always crises happening around the country. This news shed light on what the interpretation of these events were. Those events were not spontaneous. There were crises one after another. After a while, Saddam attacked and began the war as well. Who was the one that was able to suppress these crises, incidents, and riots, and to save the country from them?
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Who was able to save the people of Kurdistan, the people of Balochistan, and the people from different regions in the country from these riots? Who was able to save the people of Tehran from the waves of terrorist attacks? The IRGC. The IRGC was the organization that defeated the policy successive crises that they had designed to paralyze the revolution. They were the ones who extinguished this fire. The enemy's goal was to use these crises to take the life out of the revolution. After the revolution was weakened, then they wanted to create a coup like the ones that occurred on the 28th of Mordad, August 19, 1953, against the democratically elected Mossadegh government, and to destroy the revolution. The IRGC prevented more 28th of Mordads from happening. The IRGC did not allow the correct movement that the country had started to be stopped by the enemy's policy. This is why the West hates the IRGC so much. This is why they always mention the IRGC's name with such hatred and spitefulness. So this is also a part of what the IRGC has accomplished.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. I want to thank you for bringing me home.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
Remembering a national hero, a symbol of resistance. Many Iranians this year are marking the National Day against British colonialism at the resting place of a man who organized a popular resistance movement against British troops that had invaded Iran in 1915. Rais Ali Dilwari's martyrdom anniversary has fallen just days before Arbaeen, allowing pilgrims who are taking part in the Arbaeen walk to mark the occasion at his resting place in Wadi As-Salam Cemetery in the Iraqi city of Najaf, where the pilgrimage begins.
Shahid Dilwari.
Rais Ali Dilwari was a hero just like martyr Qasem Soleimani in our days. Actually, as Iranians, I think we're lucky that we had quite a number of these freedom fighters. For example, the Jangal movement of Gilan and the Tangistanis who formed the main resisting power against the British Empire in southern Iran.
We know that he was a young man living in the city of Dilwar in Bushehr province, and he successfully fought against the British invaders. That is why we have to keep his memory alive and educate our young generation about him.
Martyr Rais Ali Dilwari played an important role in the fight against colonialism. As Iranians, we owe him our independence and freedom.
Rais Ali Dilwari was born in 1261 in Dilwar in Bushehr. After the sudden entrance of British forces into the southern province in 1915, he led the Iranian army in their fight against British colonialists. Rais Ali Dilwari was ultimately killed by Anglo-Indian forces following months of bloody clashes. Today, his home has been turned into a museum and registered as a national heritage in Iran. And to commemorate him, his martyrdom anniversary, which usually falls on the 3rd of September, is marked on the Iranian calendar as a national day of fight against British colonialism.
Decades after his martyrdom, Rais Ali Dilwari is still an inspiration, not just for Iranians, but for freedom fighters worldwide. Isum Shahmadi, Wadi As-Salam Cemetery, Najaf.
On Friday, trade and base unions held a nationwide strike over what they call a shameful number of deaths at work. On Wednesday, five maintenance workers were hit by a train while repairing tracks on the Milan-Turin line in northern Italy. The day after, two more workplace fatalities occurred, bringing the total number of deaths on the job to over 700 since January. Unions are saying these tragedies could have been avoided.
Yes, these deaths could have been prevented. As safety in the workplace costs money, companies prefer to save on worker safety this way, making bigger profits. Our railway system was in the hands of the state until not long ago. Today, most of it has been contracted to private firms. Private groups only know how to offer services at the cheapest rate. It's like a rat race. If workers complain about their working conditions, they are fired.
On Friday, prosecutors placed under investigation an employee of the National Rail Company, RFI, in relation to the accident in which five maintenance workers were hit and killed by a train. Safety in the workplace is an issue of increasing concern in Italy. According to the European Union's statistical agency Eurostat, 776 fatal accidents on the job were recorded in Italy in 2020. By far the highest number in the block.
On top of the deaths at work, we also have a high number of non-fatal accidents and practically no protection for workers on very demanding physically and psychologically jobs. Private companies must be given strict rules when doing workplace safety risk assessments, and their managers have to be severely punished when they fail to observe these rules.
Unions are demanding that the workplace safety issue seriously enter the political debate and that the country's work system finally comply with the EU safety standards. Max Civili, Rome.
On Friday, Amir Abdullahian met with Hezbollah Secretary General Said Hassan Nasrallah, Parliament Speaker Nabih Berri, and caretaker Foreign Minister Abdullah Abu Habib. Both sides discussed the latest developments as well as challenges facing Lebanon on various levels. The issue of Saudi-Iranian rapprochement seemed to be a significant additive, which experts believe could prove constructive.
Any rapprochement between the countries of the region is in the interest of Lebanon. Saudi-Iranian agreements are a positive step, and they benefit the entire region. And they confront the U.S. ambitions and interests. We know very well that it was the U.S. that opposed this reconciliation. and they always stand against any rapprochement between any two countries in the region.
Iranian experts say Tehran's goal is to have a wider scope of cooperation in the region for the sake of mutual understanding among regional states.
Iran wants to use its bilateral relations with different countries in the region in order to create a multilateral format for cooperation. For example, to work with Saudi Arabia.